Welcome to a rousing edition of The Work. I'm Ryan Basham. Our producer, engineer, and haysayer is Keith Johnson.
Hey.
And here's your host, Bonnie Gillespie.
Woohoo! Hey, everybody, and welcome to episode 10 of The Work.
Oh, man, this is a milestone.
Are you kidding me? Woo. And it's March 6th, 2011. Oh, this is so exciting. And we have a very special guest in-house today. And it's Mr. Tony Pinizzotto.
Hi.
How are you, darling?
Good. I am bubbling over with anticipation to be here. Thank
I
you.
Love bubbles. Yes. Thank you for joining us. We have lots to talk about with Tony P. But first, we're going to take it back to Ryan with some headlines.
We've been talking about tax incentives on this program. And here's some more tax incentive news. California is accepting new production tax credit applications beginning on June 1st. They're offering $100 million in funding.
I love that news.
It's good news. It's interesting when you compare it to this piece of news from the LA Times, which is that Battle Los Angeles, the epic Attack from Outer Space film coming out next week, was shot almost exclusively in Louisiana.
Specifically because of
the tax credits. The $75 million budgeted film shot 13 weeks in Louisiana in late 2009 and received a tax credit of nearly $15 million. Louisiana offers a film tax credit of up to 35%, and California's maximum is only 25% and excludes movies above $75 million.
So, and what were you talking to me about that they did with the freeways?
In Louisiana, they shut off a freeway overpass for 30 days for this film.
You couldn't
have done that.
You couldn't do that here.
Just like LA. Construction, and they'll close it down for
good
minimum.
Point.
They shut down the freeway by LAX for Transformers.
Is that right?
Did they?
Yeah.
Huh.
Yeah, they shut down.
Well, they blow up buses and stuff downtown and every once in a while for movies, but I think...
Oh, yeah, when they were doing the Italian job and they used the subway over at Hollywood and Highland after they had just completed that.
Yes.
That was great. I liked that movie.
My favorite is right now watching the event and figuring out where they're shooting things, because most of that stuff takes place in D.C., and yet the subways look oddly like the subways in L.A.
Yeah.
Well, good. I'm glad that tax credits are coming back to the table for Los Angeles. That's actually very good news.
You know, they're encouraging people to submit right on June 1st, because they're saying that as soon as, if you wait a couple of days, you'll be put on a wait list.
So get on it.
Get on it.
Have it all ready to go for 12:01 a.m. Web submit.
Ding. And then put that crap in the mailbox.
You bet.
And union news, for the third straight year in a row, according to Hollywood Reporter, AFTRA dominates pilot season. AFTRA covered 70 of the 80 pilots ordered by broadcast networks this year.
Okay, let's say that again. There were 80 pilots that were ordered for 2011 pilot season.
On broadcast networks.
Mm-hmm.
70 of them. 70 of them were AFTRA.
Oh, wow.
Are you listening, SAG?
Wow.
Wow. That's huge.
Yeah.
Let's get these unions merged, man.
Well... here's hoping. Yeah, this would be the third attempt in 2 decades to merge the unions.
Okay.
The Broadway production of Spider-Man is facing $12,000 in safety fines from OSHA. The $65 million budget production is facing $12,000 in fines for safety.
I'm glad there are fines. I'm glad.
But $12,000
That's a day of T-shirt sales for these people.
Wow,
really?
Good point.
I mean, is $12,000 going to make them wake up or no?
No.
No, but being fined, I think, is a good precedent. Like, that starts us in the right direction. And the fines will increase.
And do they get certain, like an OSHA rating if they have X amount of fines?
OSHA can shut them down if they have repeated infractions having been fined.
Right, so this is a procedural first step, I bet.
Absolutely.
And the dollar amount probably doesn't matter.
No.
Right? It's probably like 3 fines, you're out or something.
Possibly.
Like that.
I'm not sure what the logistics
are. Strike rule?
Yeah.
But yeah, definitely. OSHA, now that OSHA is watching them, they have to get their shit together.
But where was OSHA before?
Good question. Where were the producers before? I mean, there were just bad decisions all over the place.
Where was Equity before?
Mm-hmm.
Well, they say they were there, but clearly they were there, napping and eating snacks.
Mm-hmm. Well, good. I'm glad. Hopefully that'll be a safer set, because we just don't need any more people getting hurt.
And don't knock the power of craft services to lull people into a positive sense of security.
Because craft services,
Craft services is the thing that makes a production.
What are we feeding people tomorrow?
We're feeding them red vines and beer and wine and popcorn and chips.
Cheap pizza. Yeah, good.
So no hope for the glutards.
Ooh.
No, anybody who is gluten-free should go buy a salad. Go buy a salad.
Well, red vines are gluten-free.
No.
What?
No. First ingredient is wheat.
What?
Yeah. first ingredient. That's why I can have Twizzlers, but I can't have Red Vines.
Red Vines, Red Vines are made of plastic and sugar, and yet somehow they've got wheat in them.
It's a thickener. Wheat's a very effective thickener.
A binding agent.
Exactly.
So a binding agent. Hey! Wow, right.
I like where this is going.
Right off the rails.
So, the Los Angeles Times is reporting that DirecTV is about to launch a premium video on demand service that is enraging theater executives. So, basically, what they'll be doing is allowing their customers to pay about $30 to rent a movie via the internet or cable 60 days after it opened in theaters and at least a month before it would become available on DVD.
Are they saying this will help with piracy, having movies out that quickly?
I don't think it has anything to do with piracy. I think it's just simply, this is a service for our customers.
I don't think it's that at all. I think it's a direct shot at Comcast NBC.
Yeah.
Ooh.
They're DirecTV is saying, we are going to be doing something that Comcast cannot do, so use us instead. And it's just a attempt to leverage the relationships that DirecTV has that Comcast does not.
Interesting.
I'm worried that if this goes well, it's going to hurt the film industry.
Well, just to be fair, we've been moving ever closer to simultaneous release, and there are some films that actually do have their theatrical release and then their DVD release just weeks later. So I think we are about to enter an arena of theatrical release being simultaneous with downloadable and DVD, and I think it's now just going to be this concurrent release, and a release is now the release, period. And it's not, here's your theatrical release, and then months later, here's your DVD release and your Blu-ray and so forth.
Well, and it also calls back to what we were talking about a couple weeks ago with AMC getting into production.
Right.
Because what I see going on with this is the shortening of the release, it doesn't really matter because the films aren't in the theaters long enough anyway, because the production companies are doing the turnover, rapid turnover anyway, especially of the big hits or the splashy hype hits
right.
that do all of their business in the first weekend. Then they're on DVD 2 weeks later, or so they're in there on DVD 3 weeks later, or they're on DirecTV a month later, and then they come out on DVD. I don't think that's a big deal as far as Los Angeles and Hollywood is concerned. I think it's a big deal in terms of what's shaking out in the movie theaters.
Clearly, movie theaters are going to have to get more competitive, and they're trying to do that. I'm still a little concerned that this is going to be bad for the everyday employee. I think this could make it so that what a film can earn tops out at a lower place than it does now.
Well, the industry's definitely changing, and let me pose it this way. When was the last time you even saw a drive-in movie theater?
Oh, well, that's not fair because I go to family reunions in West Virginia.
there's actually a wonderful movie theater drive-in out in Southern California.
Where is it?
Get in your car. It's 40 miles out. It's called Mission Tiki Drive-In. It's in Mission City. But outside of that and maybe one other, there's none around here.
Yeah.
All right.
It's a really good point. I think we're watching movie deliveries being evolved and taken out of. I don't know that people go to the movies the same way anymore.
Right. Well, you know, when you can sit in your home and watch your 60-inch TV with your 7.1 Dolby, sure, it's not the 13.2 Dolby that they have in the movie theaters.
It's pretty close.
But I'm sorry.
You're not going to notice the difference.
You're not going to notice the difference, and you're not going to have somebody kicking your chair behind you or, you know, having to get a babysitter. You right. know, you're just in a better situation.
Or spending hundreds of dollars on popcorn, right. soda.
No
maybe
kidding.
Maybe the movie experience is going to get better, though.
Well, so
because it's an event to go to the movies now, and if it's less available and becomes maybe more expensive, comes with better perks.
I'd like to see something like the Cinema and Draft House, which we had a lot of those in Atlanta and Athens back in college days, which is where you would go to a movie theater and it would be a place where you'd buy the ticket to see the movie, but then you would have table service and high-end appetizers and pub grub and food that was in the theme of the movie a lot of times, and cocktails.
Oh, that's great.
And it just was a more social experience, and I kind of enjoyed that, and I would pay a little more to go see a movie like that.
Well, if the food's going to be themed to the movie you're seeing, then the theater might even have a resident chef. Now, how weird would that be? I would like that a lot.
I would totally go to that.
Well, and the Arclight does over 21 movies where they do serve alcohol inside the theater. What we might be seeing is a little bit of a Darwinian influence. I imagine that AMC is going to make movies that are, you have to see them with a group, instead of movies that play well when you're at home, which Hollywood is making. they might have
event movies
yeah. where the audience participation is part of the experience, where you go to see a movie with 300 people.
Oh, that means more avatars. That means more films that are meant to be seen on the big screen first. That means more big budget action films that are...
Well, and it also means really crappy movies that don't need to be 3D being 3D because they want to have that hook, which is so ridiculous.
Or it means party movies.
Ooh,
you know?
Well, hang on. This is a good topic for Tony P, because speaking of party movies, I don't know how out you want to make this experience that you create at your home, but I would love to...
It's very good that you mentioned that, because it is a good segue.
Yeah.
And, you were mentioning the specialty houses that would serve dinner or a pitcher of beer. There's the Alamo Draft House, which is still open and successful. There's, in every city across the country, there are art houses that do this kind of thing. But I collect film on 16mm, and my partner and I show them our house, reel to reel. We'll make dinner for everybody or pop some popcorn. We'll do it in the backyard or in the living room. And it's a lot of fun, because there are films out there to be discovered that are not new films, they're old films, but they're great films.
So I think we're going to see a niche develop that you may have been a trailblazer for us to now experience.
Well, there's so much out there. Warner Brothers recently are doing a program where they had a whole vault of films that you could not get on DVD, but now you can go online, order them. I think it's $20 to $30. They will burn you a specific copy of these older films and mail them out to you. They're a per-order basis of these films that are very hard to find. And so there is a lot of desire for those, and there's a lot of effort that some of these studios are making to try and make this experience different, because it's about the dollar.
That's very cool.
Yeah.
Cool. Finished with news?
We are. Finished with news.
Then, hey, let's just go right into our interview with Mr. Tony P.
Hi.
I'm just so glad you're here with us.
Thanks for having me.
Absolutely. Tell a little bit about your history as an actor and what brought you to L.A. and how long ago. And
wow. I'm approaching 9 years in L.A. here now. I was born and raised in near Philadelphia in South Jersey. I spent a good time in Chicago. I had my own theater company out there. And then after about 12 winters of Chicago, which I miss Chicago, but I don't miss the weather, it was time.
Yeah.
So I pulled up stakes, came out to L.A., immersed myself into a different type of acting. The transition from a theater actor to a film actor has been a goal and an effort and exciting.
That's really cool.
Yeah.
Now, I know you had a really big piece of success that I want to talk about, because it is now going to result in something we can all see in theaters around the world.
Yeah.
How cool is that?
It's pretty exciting.
Take us through the process of getting cast in The Last Godfather.
I got a call for an audition for The Last Godfather in December of 2009. Mm-hmm. I got called in for two roles, one to be an Italian shopkeeper in 1950s Little Italy, and another one to be an art dealer. And I read for both of those roles, but before I went in, they sent me the script, and I read it, and I thought, this character, the shopkeeper, it'd be really cool if he was speaking Italian, because I'm a big fan of the original Godfather movies. I don't speak Italian. I know the curse words and I know the food, and that's it. But I was lucky enough to have a sister who lived in Italy for 2 years, and she spoke fluent, so I called her up. I read her the lines. I said, teach me this in Italian, and I went into the audition, and I read for both parts, and they said, could you do this in a New York accent? I said, I could do it in a New York accent, Italian accent, or I could do it in Italian.
So let's back up. So the when you went in for the audition, you didn't immediately go in and say, hey, guys, I did something weird. I want to run this by you.
No.
You did it as on the page first.
Right. I just kind of wanted to have that in my hip pocket.
Smart.
Because I just thought, all right, well, who knows? You know, it could be something that I could need or pull or have to have. The cool thing was they kind of let on that they didn't even think of that. So I brought something new to the table, I thought.
Look at that.
So in February of 2010, I had one of the worst days I had had in a long time. And at the end of the day, I got notification that I booked the role of the Italian shopkeeper, which was pretty cool because they had written the other part out of the film. So I'm very blessed that I got called in for that one. About a week beforehand, I got another call saying, well, we're going to bump you up from one scene to four scenes.
Oh, wow.
So I got to do two scenes with Harvey Keitel and two scenes with Jason Mewes of Jay of Silent Bob.
Mm-hmm. Absolutely.
And what an experience. It was great.
Well, so for me, that's just a fantastic example of an actor going above and beyond, being so prepared that then they can't deny, when you're talented, giving you the opportunity to show your yes and. which is basically what happened in The Room, right?
Yeah, I mean, it was pretty exciting, and I felt I was taking a chance, but I felt good about it. And like I said, I'm a big fan of the old Godfather movies.
Yeah.
So for me, it made sense. And I was like, well, I might as well have this ready. Like I said, I might have it in my hip pocket ready to go. It paid off.
So tell us about the movie and where we can see it and when.
The movie comes out on April 1st. It's being released right now, 12 major cities nationwide. It's going to be released by Roadside Attractions.
That's great.
So you can go to roadsideattractions.com and look it up. And the official website is thelastgodfathermovie.com.
And you're in the trailer, right?
I am in the trailer.
Oh,
I'm so excited.
I know. I'm excited.
Oh, this is fantastic.
It's going to be fun. And of course, it's been something I've been looking forward to.
Absolutely.
Yeah.
Yeah. Oh, great. Good, good, good. Now, tell me about Red Table, because this was something that you mentioned to me that I want to explore a little bit.
I'm going to have a couple babies. I'm going to have one called Red Table and then another short film that I'm working on, and they sort of came about together. I started working on a short film as an idea as possible just to get some footage for my demo reel because I have a singing background. With some other friends of mine, we kind of created this concept of a film, a short film, and I wanted to have a table read of it, but it's only an 11-page script. So I thought, well, why get a bunch of people together for a small script? Why not put feelers out to see who out there has other small scripts? And we can converge and read the scripts. Get it written, get it read. Red Table, that's the group. So
brilliant.
First gathering will be on March 14th, and I'm still looking for writers out there that want to participate. Got a lot of great actors that want to be in it, but we still need some more scripts.
And how can people get those to you?
They can find out all the information at redtable.org, and they can email me at redtablegroup@yahoo.com.
Fantastic.
And it's all right there. So I'm real excited about it.
Brilliant concept.
Yeah.
And then tell me about the short film, a little more about that.
The short film, it's got a few working titles right now. Canary Yellow, If I Had Met You. But we're working on it. And it's kind of a conglomeration of Public Enemy meets Defending Your Life. And it takes place in 1930s vaudeville. So I've been doing a lot of research on vaudeville lately, and it's pretty eye-opening. And I'm working with Miguel Legrand's office in France. He wrote all the music for Yentl and Umbrellas of Cherbourg. So there's a song that he had written years ago that just was the perfect song. We're real close to getting that together. And then I have an actress that I'm going to approach for one of the leads.
How
name
exciting.
Actress.
A name actress?
I cannot mention
it yet. Oh, come on.
It's a secret.
Can't give us any,
no.
any rhymes with?
She has a famous sister. They were both actresses.
Now define famous.
Zsa Zsa Gabor.
No.
Honey.
Oh. Ava.
I'm aware.
No, poor Zsa Zsa.
How topical in a most inappropriate
Zsa
way.
Zsa is just...
she's not doing well, Keith.
Bless her.
I remember seeing that they told one of her family members, you're no longer allowed to come visit in the hospital because that family member was selling photos of her in bed.
Pictures of Zsa Zsa in the hospital.
And that's not how she wants to be remembered.
Oh,
no,
my God.
On like a cell phone cam.
Yeah.
That's
awesome. Sold them. Yeah, and so, but now she's doing the press circuit talking about how horrible my mom's keeping me from seeing her in her dying days. And I'm like, bitch, I would too.
Yeah,
right? Well, good luck getting your name
acted
on that. Zsa Zsa Gabor.
Thank you.
So, Tony, what advice would you give to actors out there who are listening to the work about how they can create their own projects and have exciting things developing, including being on screen with Harvey Keitel?
You know, I would say don't give up. Keep doing it, what you love, whatever it is that makes you happy, really. Because you can sit around and say, I wish. You got to do something. You know, one of my favorite quotes that I brought here to share, which is M.C. Richards. She's a poet and a writer. And her quote that I live by is, let no one be deluded that a knowledge of the path can be substitute for putting one foot in front of the other.
Nice.
Oh, that's great.
I like just, that a lot.
You might need to put that in the footnotes under the...
That's really good.
Just get out there and do it.
I made that up.
Ba-dum-bump. So, yeah, have fun, because this world has so much to offer. And if you're having a bad day, tomorrow's another day.
Or even at the end of your bad day...
Exactly.
You could book your movie.
Exactly.
Like,
but
so
just,
yeah.
You know...
Don't go
buy a 40.
Put your whole heart and soul into everything you do.
Thank you, Tony. I appreciate you being a guest on episode 10.
Such an inspirational guest.
Thank you. I know. Very nice. A little tip for everybody out there, and this ties in very nicely with what Tony has shared with us, and it's be prepared. There's a story I love to tell about an actor who came in to audition for a supporting role on a SAG ultra low budget film that I was casting. So a $200,000 budget film, really small part, and he was new to town and downloaded the entire script, not just the sides for that character, which would have been two pages max. And he downloaded the entire script, had printed it out, had it dog-eared and marked up, and had all his favorite scenes marked, and it was in his backpack. When he came in into the room and auditioned for the supporting role, he was so good. I said, man, I think I want to see this kid for the lead. He doesn't have the credits to be the one that we would probably cast, and we had an offer out to a name actor, so I knew that this was a risk that I was taking. We didn't even have sides for the lead character, but I said, if I could get you the material, would you be willing to take a look at the lead, and just so I can show it to producers? And they weren't there at pre-read, so it was just going to be something I would send them on tape. And he said, wait, and pulled out of his backpack this dog-eared script with all, and he said, can I do this scene or this one? I love this one. And the fact that he was ready and then his talent was undeniable meant that when he had the opportunity to show us that other character, and this would be a horrible story if it ended any other way, of course he booked it, because when he had the opportunity, he was ready.
And to me, that comes from the love of acting.
You bet.
I really do think that people who go that extra step is something that is in your heart telling you not to do or telling you to do it then versus your head.
Right.
It's the love of acting. It's the love of immersing yourself into something that you feel passionate about.
Yeah, instead of reading a crappy magazine or spending the day on Facebook, read scripts. Read the entire script for a project that you're auditioning for a small role, because it may inform you and your ability to say something like, this should be in Italian. I love that. Yeah. So that's your advice for me for the day. Now we're going to go back to Ryan to see if we have some not really news.
Not really news. Well, okay. The Hollywood Reporter reports that Justin Bieber is attempting to grow a mustache.
The
Hollywood Reporter
reports this?
Yes.
I judge you.
Yes, I know.
Hollywood Reporter.
Bieber tweeted yesterday, quote, I'm not shaving for a month so you all can see my mustache, I'm pumped. After trimming his... Listen. After he trimmed his longish locks, okay?
Yes, yes.
His leftover hair sold for over $40,000 on eBay, and the proceeds went to charity.
That's so gross.
Isn't that disgusting? What pervert do you think got his hair and put it on a voodoo doll, or...
You guys, I'm right here.
I thought your eBay days were over,
no.
Toby. Oh, wow.
So thanks for that, Hollywood Reporter and Justin Bieber.
Yeah, not really news.
Not really news at all.
Not at all. Keith, you've been awfully quiet.
No.
Okay.
I'm just saying.
I'm sitting with three men who, if they stopped shaving for a month, would have more hair on their faces than I have on my head. You know, so to me, the idea of I'm not going to shave for a month and let's see if I can get that mustache going, that's adorable. It's adorable and very, very sweet.
Testosterone shots or something.
Very sweet. No, you know. I think they call that the Bieber Advance.
Bieber Advance.
No, that's something completely different.
He's only
17. Does it have to do with lesbians with the Bieber haircut?
Yes.
Is that what that
is?
Okay, good. I was just, curious.
You do realize he went from the Susie Orman to the Ellen.
Oh, he did.
Yeah.
He totally did.
So he's totally lesbian
haircut. What lesbian is next?
Can't wait to find out. Whoopi.
Samantha Ronson?
Whoopi.
Whoopi's not a lesbian.
Yes, she is.
No.
Totally.
No, she's been married to three men.
Uh-huh.
And...
It has a penis, no!
Okay, all right. What?
I don't understand why. How we got here.
Okay.
I
don't... Take us home.
Oh, man. This has been another edition of The Work. I'm Ryan Basham. Our engineer, producer, and haysayer is Keith Johnson.
Hey.
Our special guest has been the fantastic Tony Pinizzotto.
Oh, thank you, guys.
Thanks
for being here.
Yay.
And, of course, your host is Bonnie Gillespie.
Thanks for coming back, you guys. We'll do it again next week. Till then, keep creating.